So here we go. So we are up to Musar Day of Perek Yud of Parshas Ekev. So actually two pieces that are what?
Perek Yud,
chapter 10, that do connect with one another. And that is, but both I found to be pretty fascinating. So one is the Rambam tells us, let's start with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yatai Yisrael, now O Israel, this is Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. Here O Israel, a very famous Pasuk. Ma Hashem Elokech Hashu Amach, what does Hashem demand from you? Ki im li yuras Hashem Elokech Alechaz b'chol durachav ula'ava osa. Now what does Hashem demand from you? Only to fear Hashem and to go in His ways and to love Him. Right? That's the Pasuk. Sounds pretty simple. However, Shraw points out a couple of problems with this. Now, first of all, the Gemara tells, this is a famous Gemara, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. Right? This actually, we come to learn out this idea that everything comes from shamayim except for yir shamayim. That comes out from the Pasuk. Yisrael, what does Hashem demand from you? To do this, meaning He doesn't demand anything else other than this, because everything else is not sort of not choice or emanates from this idea of Yiras Shemayim. So there's two things. He says, first of all, the implication is that Hashem doesn't cause us to do Yiras Shemayim, right? That's something that's coming on our own. So is that true? Is that true? I think that there's plenty of things that Hashem does in order to allow us or motivate us to do Yiras Shemayim. And in fact, there are a couple of things that the Pasuk itself seems to indicate. The Pasuk tells us, Rav Shraw points out, the Pasuk in Kohelet says, Elokim asei sheyira milfanav, that Hashem makes things so that we shall fear Him. So how can you say, Elokim asei sheyira milfanav, chutz miyiras shemayim, when Hashem makes things for us to fear Him? And number two, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lo nivru re'emim el lefashet akmumios shebelev, that Hashem created thunder so that it creates fear in our hearts. And of course that pasuk in Kohelet. And we also daven Yom Narim. Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokecha v'yerucha kol ma'asim. And so that we will fear all of your things. I mean, we daven to Hashem to give us, make us afraid so that we will fear you, of Yachid Levein or Navaraba, Yachid Levavenu La'ava Uyira Eshemecha, that we cause us to have Pachad in our hearts, so that we'll be able to fear you, or V'yasem B'leibeinu Avaso V'yiraso. So these are psukim that we say all the time, that we dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu to impose a fear within us. And then the other idea, question, is that this pasuk says, V'yata Yisrael, right? Listen here, Jews, right? Implication being that this is somehow going to make us unique from the non-Jews. The fact that we're going to have Yiras Shemayim, the fact that we're going to have a fear, or as some would say, an awesome respect of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, either way you want to go, that sounds like that's a unique feature amongst the Jewish people. However, what did Avram Avinu, when he came to Avimelech and told Avimelech and needs to leave, and Avimelech's like, why are you leaving? Avram responds by saying, Rak in Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. There's no Yiras Hashem here. So Avimelech could have responded by saying, "Well, that's not my fault. We're not Jewish. We never signed up for the Yiras Hashem thing, right? What? Why would you want to leave because of that?" And in fact, in two psukim later, two parshios ago, in Parshas Miketz, what did Yosef tell the brothers before Yosef introduced himself to them? That told them who he was. He says, "Es halukim ani yarei." He says, "I fear God." So the brothers should have said, like, hey, we're only the ones that are supposed to fear God. You're not supposed to fear God. Yosef didn't respond that, implying that there is an idea of Yiras Shemayim even by non-Jews. And in fact, the ultimate one is that what do we say about Amalek, that Amalek requires destruction? The Pasuk says, V'lo yarei Elokim. They don't fear God. So wait a second. I thought that's our job to fear God. What's going on here? So Rav Schwab points to there is a very famous statement in the Rambam, where the Rambam says in the beginning of Perek Beis of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, he says, what is v'heyachi haderech liavaso v'yiraso? So first of all, you already have a bit of an issue, because when we learn through our Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say? Hashem, what does Hashem demand from you? To fear Hashem and to love Hashem. And the Meforshim comment, the Ramban commented on it, that by way of Yira, first you come to fear God, and after you fear God, so then you will appreciate God and do an Ava. And we talked about that. Why is that it? Why is that all? Is that all? Is that such a little thing? So for Moshe's level, it might be considered a little thing. But of course, Moshe was already at the level of Ava, looking back down on the level of Yira. But for us, to get to the level of Yira is no small task. But it sounds like from the Pasuk, Yira, first you have Yira, and then you have Ava. You fear God, and then you'll come to love God. What does the Rambam say? Ve'ezeu hi haderech li'avaso v'yiraso. What is the way to love God and to fear God? Implying that there is love before fear. In fact, that's what he continues on. He says, that person will ponder and will look at the actions of that Hashem did, and he'll see his wisdom, that there is no measure to his wisdom. And he'll have this desire to love Hashem and praise Hashem and all that, as he quotes the pasuk from David. From Tehillim, it's Sama Nafshi Elokim L'Kol Chai, that I yearn for, my soul yearns for God for all my life. And then when you think about these things themselves, and then you ponder this a little bit more, right? Your first reaction is, wow, all that is really, really cool. I can't believe Hashem put us in this wonderful world. And then you think about it a little bit more, you say, oh my gosh, right? God is so great and I'm so little. God is all knowing and I'm all not knowing. Right? God is infinite and I'm infinitesimal. And that will then lead to a fear as, and then he quotes Psukim to that effect as well. So the Rambam's order seems to be putting it first Ava and then Yira, and then fear comes second. What's the problem?
You're talking about doing tshuva. I mean, you're doing the yira is lesser than
yes,
Nava,
right? Right, right. Yira is the lesser tshuva.
Right.
Right. So we'll. So one second. So let's. One more question to add to this, and that is where Schwab also points out that what is the Rambam saying here? What is the way to Ava and Yira? He says bishat sheizvoning, right? A person will think about this. And then the second half is v'cheshemachashe b'dvar. When you think about this more, what is a person not doing here? A person is not learning, right? The Rambam seems to be talking about a philosopher. The philosopher will first have avas Hashem, and then he will have yiras Hashem by sitting and pondering. And if you ponder a little bit more, and you ponder a little bit more, these are the paths that you're going to do. So Rav Schwab suggests that this is the ava and yira approach of a non-Jew. That there's two types of yira. There is the universal yira, there is the universal fear of God, and then there is the individual, particular Jewish form of yira. And when in those psukim that I quoted before, when Yosef claimed, "I want to have, I have yiras Hashem," or in the face of the non-Jews, or when the when Avram criticized Avimelech for not having yira, this is what he was focusing on. He's focusing on that you have no thought, you never pondered the world, and you never came to this realization of, oh, you're so little and God is so great and how could you, etc. That's the criticism that they have. What is the special, unique challenge, though, in this pasuk? What is the Be'atah Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shalmimach? What is it that Hashem demands of you? So while that might be the most famous Rambam's description of Ava and Yira, the truth is he starts off Yisodei HaTorah with something slightly different. The beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, these are the very first words of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. Yisod HaYisodos V'amud HaChachmus Leida Sheyesh Sham Matzui Rishon Behu Mamzi Kol Hanimtza. The main Yisod and the pillar of all wisdom is to know that there is a original reality, and that reality creates everything that is found. And everything that is found in the heavens and the earth, and whatever is in between them, is only found based on that reality that is found. What is that? So suggests a fascinating psychological insight. And that is that a person thinks about, God created the world, and God is so great, and I'm so little, etc., often a person sort of stops there. God is so great, and I'm so little, and what am I doing in this world? What does the person forget? And perhaps this is what is unique with regards to the Jewish people. The person leaves out the, and I emanate from God. Right? It stops there. It often stops at a recognition of God creating the world, and even a recognition of God creates evil, and God creates this country, and God creates that tsaras, and God caused this to happen, and that to happen. What does one often leave out? And God created me as well. That part is often missing from that equation. So the Rambam in Perek Beis, when he describes Ava and Yira, that is the recognition of that there's this world surrounding me, and I am distinct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Hashem demanding when he says, V'yata Yisrael, and you Israel, what do you need to see? What do you need to recognize? That's not Perek Beis, rather that's Perek Aleph. The Yisod Yisodos is, you have to know this. That God created the world, God is that there's a reality before the world existed, and God created me. And that's the ani, the I aspect of that, that is a unique thing that we have to recognize. He says, V'lachin, where is this here? If Hashem ever didn't want me to exist, it could be that I will be Ain, right? In fact, the letters, Rav Shpachar might like this, what do the letter of Ani spell out? If you take the same letters, they might spell out Ain, right? Ani is I'm a reality. Ain means I'm not. And it's very easy to go from being a reality, from being me, to being nothing.
Is it the same letters, really?
Yeah, Aleph, Yud, and Nun. Ani, Aleph, Nun, Yud. Okay. Ain is Aleph, Yud, Nun. Right? V'lachin b'chol shash adam margish ani. When a person recognizes, contemplates themselves, the ani shalo, who margishish hametzius yisparach hayudeo so v'roo so v'hu rotsu b'kiyumo. So if he contemplates a little bit more, he'll realize that if I'm in existence, that must mean that there is a God that wants me to be in existence. And that is perhaps the uniqueness of the Yira and the Ava that a Jewish person is going to feel. Right? So the what is Hashem demand from you, not right, only to recognize that you have a neshama, that you have a soul. Or as Mrs. I can't believe I'm forgetting her name, the first grade teacher who taught several of my kids, who's still Baruch Hashem, her husband is the Rebbe in the yeshiva, and I'm taught for decades. What? No. A TA. I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. All right, so she has a sign in her classroom. That states as follows, that the moment you were created is when Hashem created that the world couldn't exist without. Hashem decided that the world can't exist without you. Right? So that recognition that you have a unique aspect and a unique role to play from a Kodesh, and that's granted to you from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that can be taken away at any time. So that's the Yiras Hashem that is mentioned here in this section. Okay.
What about the severe weather? What should we learn from that? Severe weather.
Both that's mostly going to fall in the Perek Beis version of looking out into the world and seeing the incredible things that are created in the world. In fact, he adds in that's what the tefillah of Elokai Neshamash and Asata Bi Tahorah Hi, that bracha that we say at the end of Birchas Satorah in the morning, that Hashem granted me a neshama, granted me a pure neshama that I'm supposed to, and may I be able to make the most of that. Or in fact, the words Moda Ani Lefanecha Melechai V'Kayam, I'm thankful to Hashem who created everything, shechazarta bi nishmadi, that returned to me my neshama, b'chem l'rabba emunasecha, right, with much mercy, and much of your emunasecha. Normally we think of, I think the way we translate as a first grader is, and I should have believe it, but that's not, it's emunasecha, with your faith, right, we say to Hashem, thank you for returning me my soul, and giving me your faith. What does it mean, your faith? That Hashem believes in me. That Hashem believes that I have something to that I have something to contribute, and therefore there is a piece of me, and He's granted me a piece of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in order to go ahead and do that. In fact, there is one halacha that is learnt out from this pasuk, and that is the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos that Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. What is it that Hashem requests of you? Al Tikre Ma Ela Meya. Don't read it as ma, rather read it as meya, meaning add a letter aleph into there. What do we learn out from that? We learn out from that the halacha, the Gemara tells us, that a person should say 100 brachos every day. Right? And that is so that's learned out from that. Now, the truth is, it's not exactly learned out from that. It's actually learned out from another pasuk in David. So we consider it actually to be a takana of David HaMelech, to say 100 words a day. And the Torah Tamima has this explanation. How do you do that? How do you just add a little bit? How do you add a letter in? The truth is, you're only adding in one. So all followers of Gematria know that you're allowed to be off by one. And he says, that's this concept. You can add an, but then he turns around, Torah Tamima turns around and says, but really this is just a mnemonic to remember, really the real sources from elsewhere. But the Rosh Hashanah says no, but I think you could say that it goes more than that. It goes to that. What are all brachos? All brachos are a recognition. Baruch atah Hashem asher kiddishanu, that sanctified us with this ability. So we have at least 100 times of the day to recognize that we have a unique role to play in this world. And that then leads us, perhaps, to the second thought that I wanted to share with you on this pasuk, and that comes a little bit later on in the pasuk, in the parak. The parak tells us in pasuk chaf beis. No, I'm in the wrong parak, that's why. But if we go parak yud pasuk there, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokei Elokim, that Hashem your God, He is the God of gods, Adonai Adonim, the God, the Master of Masters, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora, who great, powerful, all strong, all masterful, Asher Lo Yisa Panim VeLo Yikach Shochad, that won't nod his head, that won't be from carrying the burden, but VeLo Yikach Shochad, and will not take Shochad. What is Shochad? Shochad is a bribe. Right, that God won't take bribes. So what does it mean, God won't take bribes? So Rashi says, perhaps what is most difficult to understand. Rashi says, l'faisu b'mamon, to satisfy him with money. Unclear. Okay. The Ramban also talks about this, that he osa mishpat yosma, that he will not recognize the great over the not. I mean, he will, because the very next pasuk is that he does justice to the orphans and the widows. Oh, he's ger, and he loves the ger, and etc. And God won't show favoritism amongst people. But the Sfarno says, v'lo yikach shochad, will not take a bribe. The Sfarno says, lo yasir klal me'onesh ha'avera bishvil schus mitzvah sha'asa achote. You will not lose from the punishment, just by doing sins, by doing mitzvos, which the sinner does, right? If you have a avera and you have a punishment that is due to you, so let's say, let me do a bunch of mitzvos, and that way I'll diminish the punishment. The Sforno says, doesn't work that way, right? You have, there are different accounts. Right, that was the whole problem that Trump has by saying Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Right, he says Mexico's paying for the wall because we're collecting all this tariff money. Right, but it's coming from but Congress won't give him the money to spend on the wall. Right, so he claims, oh, Mexico's paying for it, but it doesn't. They're going into different accounts. So the same thing here. Right, yes, I might be getting mitzvos. I'll get the reward for the mitzvos that I do, but that's a different account than the punishments that I have. They don't cancel each other out. And he quotes the Gemara. Although it's not actually a Gemara. He says, "Ka'amram," as we see in Gemara in Sota, "She'ein mitzvah mechaba avera." That a mitzvah doesn't erase an avera. That's true. You're nodding. You're shaking your head. That's wrong. But it's not a Gemara. The Gemara actually. I looked up this Gemara. The Gemara never actually says it. The Gemara only says the opposite. That an avera is not mechaba a mitzvah. Right. So this friend is taking a little bit of liberty there. Apparently, from my. The Frono says this in other places as well. The Gemara doesn't actually say that. But the principle is true. She'ein mitzvah mechaba aveira. That a mitzvah does not extinguish an aveira. Right? And he says, v'chol zeh yorish lo tivatchu im techata'u li natzel b'shum schus min onesh klal. Don't think that if you sin that you're going to have merits that are going to save you from punishment. Zulasi b'tshuva shlema. With the exception of doing a full tshuva, right? So your only hope to get out of the punishment is to do tshuva. Doing mitzvos is not going to help to deduct from that avera. Good so far?
Yes, it makes me remember that my wife said, "Don't ever buy me flowers because you're guilty."
Okay. Let us record for posterity the wisdom. Do not buy flowers for your wife if you're guilty. Okay. Okay. So the bit of a problem is that this seems, at first glance, that this might go against a very explicit and pretty prominent Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva. Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. The Rambam writes. This is where the Rambam said, talks about that you blow the shofar, and the shofar is supposed to wake you up from your sleep and return you to tshuva, etc. But he says at the end of that, and this, most people get pretty conked out from this Rambam by the time you get to the end, because it's filled with drasha topics. But he says, with the inyan zep, for this reason, nagu kol beis Yisrael laharbos betzdako v'maisim tovim lasuk b'mitzvos. For this reason, there is a minug of Bnei Yisrael to increase our charity and good deeds and do mitzvos from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur more than the rest of the year. We have an idea of saying slichos during this time as well. What does the Rambam seem to be saying? The Rambam seems to be saying, so therefore, because of this mitzvah of tshuva, because of this period that we're in, of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, right, there's a minhag amongst Klal Yisrael to do extra mitzvos. How does that solve the problem? Right? If we're trying to remove, and by the way, there's a bigger problem with this also, and that is by, when we're doing tshuva, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right, so the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, what sins is that on?
Against Hashem.
What time period?
Oh.
The previous year.
Yeah.
Right? So we're supposed to imagine, right, that everything, the scales are there, etc. So now I'm going to try to add on a few mitzvos that perhaps might outweigh the averos. Well, wait a second. It doesn't help anymore. Right? This is a different account. It's like taking, it's like giving tzedakah now, charity now, to get a tax deduction for 2019.
It's not sealed too.
Okay, fine. But what does it mean it's not sealed? What do mitzvos count for? Is it a double deduction? Can I count the mitzvos for 2000 for this year and the previous year?
No.
Right. So what?
They count for the previous year.
They do. So my mitzvah count doesn't start counting until after Yom Kippur.
Well, the books are closed.
And I said, but what are those mitzvahs going to count for? Right? So that's one issue, right? How does positive mitzvahs help if you're accounting from the last year? It sounds like the books aren't closing that there's still a judgment to take place, but the accounting should all be set up, right? You're just collecting your invoices and W-2s, and right, all that you're waiting to come in, and you got to count up your deductions, etc. But it's all on last year's account. You can't start taking tax deductions now for the previous year, right? That's not going to work. And it sounds like you're doing mitzvahs before tshuva, because in Perek Beis, the Rambam writes that Perek Beis Halacha Zayin Yom Kippur Muzman Tshuva L'Chol Yachad Ol Rabin V'Ukeitz Mechiv Zichlisho, that Yom Kippur is the time of tshuva. So we're talking about doing mitzvos before going ahead and doing tshuva, right? Why is that okay? Or how does that help? How are the mitzvos going to help in terms of getting rid of those averos? So it's not my question. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asked this question, raised it from the Ramban. Although the truth is, the Ramban, I don't think it's this Ramban. I'm not sure which Ramban he's referring to. But he says,
Ramban asked on the Ramban?
No. The Rabbi Yisrael Salanter raises, we quoted from a Sforno, this concept but he quotes from a Ramban. I'm not sure where the Ramban is that he's quoting from. But the Sforno himself says it, right? That if mitzvos don't come to knock out averos, what do mitzvos help during the period of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva in terms of getting rid of the averos? So the Rav Salvechik, this is in Rabbi Salvechik on the Days of Awe. I'm not sure where I picked this up from, but it was signed by somebody. I'm not sure who this came from. Before Hashem, you shall be purified. Right there, there's actually two main svarim on tshuva that are taken from the Rav's tshuva drashas. One is this one. This is sort of the second one. The first one is ala tshuva, is in Hebrew, or on repentance in English. This sort of is like the sequel that came after, like his thoughts that came after that was printed. So he quotes from the Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni says, I didn't get a chance to look at the Yalkut Shimoni, but here it is in English, that we say everybody should return. All who have in their hands an act of transgression and are ashamed to do tshuva should substitute a good deed and then do tshuva. That's what the Yalkut Shimoni says. Sometimes external circumstances render tshuva very difficult to do. Entire families can be transgressors, etc. The Yalkut Shimoni gives the advice that good deeds can precede tshuva, and immediate tshuva is too arduous. This is analogous to one who has bad coins. He can go to the storekeeper and present them along with some extra money and exchange them for good ones. Similarly, all who have bad actions should repent and do good actions. What's he talking about? So what are bad actions? What are bad zuz and bad actions? So the Rav says that, although this might get in the way of the that same idea of tshuva mi'ava flips averus into zechuyus. That might be one way of talking about it. But the Rav says you can't be talking about sins. Sins aren't coins. Sins aren't bad coins. Bad coins are good. They're just bad coins that you'll exchange for being good coins. So what's going on here? So it must be that it's referring to the mitzvos of the sinner. That a mitzvah does... That a sinner might do mitzvos in order to avoid the punishment. So the Yalkut Shimoni seems to be alluding to the idea of the Rambam that seems to go against the Sforno. But still, is there a way to put them together? So the Rav says, well, let's take a look at one of the first sins that were taken. Not the first sin. The first sin was the Adam and Chava. But then a parak later, we talk about the sin of Cain and Hevel. And what does it say by Cain and Hevel? So the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis Perek Dalet Pasuk Hey. Ve'el Kayin ve'el Minchaso lo sha'a. No, sorry. Yeah, it's pasuk vav. Vayomer Hashem el Kayin lama charalach v'lama naflu fanecha. This is after Kayin's korban didn't work, right? And he didn't yet kill Hevel yet, right? Yeah, so Cain hadn't yet killed Hevel, but Cain's korban wasn't accepted. So Hashem comes to Cain and says, "Lama chara lach v'lama naflu fanecha." So the Rav says that is representing the two attitudes of sin. Lama chara lach, although it's translated here as "why are you annoyed," it really is chara is anger. Why are you angry, Cain? Right? Why would a person get angry? Because a person feels that they have been slighted, that we're great, and I have been slighted by this. So, charal, why are you angry? V'lama naflu fanecha is why are you downfallen? And in fact, they are opposites of one another, the Rav says. Right? Why, anger comes from arrogance. Downfallen comes from lack of self-esteem. I would say humility, but it's not really humility, it's lack of self-esteem. Right? So those are the two aspects, and both of those lead to sin. Anger is, who's God to tell me what to do? Right? And downfallenness is, I'm nothing. What does it matter what I do? Right? And both of those, and Rav says those are the two causes of sins. In fact, they're represented in the two karbanos that are offered on Yom Kippur. There's a bull that's offered on Yom Kippur. That's the first part of sins, when a person sins because they say they're angry with God, as opposed to the ram. The ram is offered on Yom Kippur. That is recognizing I sinned because I had a lack of self-esteem. So the Rav continues, although he doesn't exactly spell it out completely, like he doesn't like blurred out like I was hoping it was going to say in order to get some really good quote. But I think what the Rav is driving at is that a person who sins because they feel that they aren't worth anything. So how does a person start feeling that they are worthy of tshuva, that they are worthy of Hashem's attention? So do a couple of mitzvahs. Right? The mitzvahs are not to cancel out the averos, according to the Rambam. Rather, why is a person doing mitzvahs during this period? To recognize that you have value. To recognize that you're worth something. To recognize that you have meaning in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And to be able to build up the self-esteem in order to stand in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu and say, I want to do tshuva in order to attain kapara, in order to attain repentance for all those sins that I did last year. Because I have value. It's important to me. It should be important to you, Hashem, that I be able to gain that atonement. And I ask you to recognize that. So how do I get to that point? Recognizing that I have to do it. He brings in two other notes about two sort of supports for this idea. Number one is in the famous story of Rav Elazar ben Dudaya, who went to all the prostitutes, etc., and then realized that he was a sinner, etc. So in the aftermath of that story, once he realized that he sins, so he says, "Let the mountains attain tshuva for me." And the mountains say, like, sorry, dude, like, it ain't happening. Like, we're not doing it for you. Right? So what was the message to him? That you have value, you have to get your own tshuva. You have to do it yourself. And that's the idea of walking in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, kivnei marum, that we're all judged like sheep, because how are sheep get counted? They go through the corral, and each get counted individually. Because each person has that opportunity to stand in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, plus they have value, they have importance, and if a person doesn't feel that way, so do a couple of mitzvahs, do a couple of good deeds on behalf of others, and Emir Hashem, you'll be able to gain some of that self-esteem back. All right, we'll stop here. Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Question.